SBS live streams and podcasts are supported by advertising.
Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Languages Resistance Panoyan, hosted by the Footscray Arts Centre this Wednesday, the 20th of March, will delve into the profound intersections of language, Indigenous knowledge systems and activism in art. Panelists will offer unique insights into the power of language, identity and cultural preservation in the face of historical oppression and contemporary challenges. I'm happy to say I'm joined by two of the panelists at the event. Auntie Vicky Cousins, a Kundish Mara woman who is a leader in cultural revitalization across creative expressions from language to visual arts. And Alara Briggs Pattison, a Yota Yota artist who weaves healing textures through music addressing themes of black justice and sovereignty. Auntie Vicky and Alara, thanks for joining us and welcome to NITV Radio.
Thank you. Great to be here and to have this opportunity to speak about a passion.
Thanks so much. I'm really happy to be here also.
I'll start with a question to Vicky. You work across various creative mediums for cultural revitalization. Can you elaborate on how artistic expression plays a vital role in language reclamation and revival efforts?
I do use the term creative cultural expression because those, we don't really identify the arts as a separate kind of practice or way of expression. I think we have the contemporary expressions as well as the more what some might be termed traditional expressions through ceremony and song and body paint up and those kinds of things that a part of ceremonies, and language is central and absolutely integral and inherent in those practices, both the customary practices and contemporary practices, as we're seeing with Alara and other people in performance. Myself, I use, when I'm using visual arts, I'll use language as text or absolutely as titles and part of the explanations in my work. It is an action of resistance to assert those things, like your mother tongue, your language, which is, you know, a birthright. So I think they're really important. And in these times now, we are in a time from the work of our old people and all those elders who've gone before us that we have the freedom in some respects to pursue those things and reinvigorate and bring those practices, especially language, back into our lived daily lives as well as our creative cultural expression and cultural practices. It's really important. That doesn't even convey the absolute necessity for the revitalization. And of course, Lou's word, who coined the phrase rematriation, which I know Alara's going to talk a bit about. I can't even find the words in English to express the importance and necessity of reinvigorating our languages.
Yeah. And Alara, just tell us, as a Yota Yota storyteller, how do you incorporate traditional narratives and cultural practices into your art forms?
Thank you for asking, and I definitely can relate to Auntie Vicky there. Like, words can't express what it means for the importance of us to be speaking our languages and practicing the different ways that we can continue our cultural culture, life. Life itself. So it's not even this one thing that's separate from our everyday life. I mean, we coin it as this term culture as if it's separate from our life because we live in such a heavily saturated Western society that culture becomes this this different thing, but it's our life. It's what we live and breathe. It's how we continue our stories and talk about our ancestors and our elders. And it's how we share our hopes and dreams for the future. And, you know, you do that in so many different forms. I do it in music and song. And so for me, with language, as you said, it's our birthright to know our languages. I guess I'm trying to create, I guess, something that I wish I had as a kid, that I wish I was born into. I was born into English, and that's something that my Ntiki as well is going to talk a lot about as today, this evening.
Yeah.
Is that her kind of refusal to speak English as a, you know, a second colonial language on top of Japanese. And, you know, it was her birthright to have Ainu as her first language, and as it was for us to have our languages as our first language. So I'm trying to think of the right words, but there is no right words because they're all in English. These ones that we're choosing to say, I use language here, or I speak language here. It's about connection to ourself and our country and our old ones, and, you know, every other living, breathing person and non-person beings that connect us all.
And Auntie Vicky, how do you see the revitalization of cultural knowledge and practice contributing to healing in Aboriginal individuals, families and communities?
I think it's absolutely integral, and it is, like Alara is saying, the use of culture, like in some ways English creates that separateness, but it's how we live and it's who we are, and it's like any other culture. It's your lived experience of how you go about your daily life. How can I say it? Like, we're on the oldest continent on the planet, with the oldest living cultures, with the oldest languages.
Yeah.
And we have the fastest attrition rates. And I don't like to say language is lost, because language is of the land and we are of the land, and language is body. So you can't lose it, but you do have to relearn it. And the reactivation of many of our practices, like I said before, the colonial regime continues, and therefore the perpetration of genocide and linguicide is a continuing thing, and it's not always as obvious as dodging bullets. You know, we still have the terrible rates of deaths in custody and children in out-of-home care and all those things that we hear, all the negative stories. We are still in the colonial regime, and the system is not set up for our success or to support us. And I'm in several roles where I'm able to represent and advocate and push, go hard. I'm not just nicely advocating. Go hard in those spaces to find the resourcing and support, because the value of our culture and languages is just not there.
Yeah.
Whilst we're having the truth telling and we're having the conversations in the wider community and many of our things that our old people have been fighting for and we have are on the national and state agendas, the process is still dictated by the Western, you know, systems that we work under. So for our communities, it's absolutely vital. And we've been addressing those issues of housing, employment, education, a feed on the table and a roof over your head, essential survival things.
Yeah.
And now we are in places where we're starting to be able to really assert the necessary, you know, necessities of having our languages and those things reinstated. It's a human right, and Victoria has a human rights charter, which they're in breach of. So are the federal government. And the federal government finally signed up members to the United Nations Declaration on the Indigenous Rights of Indigenous People, UNDRIP, and they're still failing spectacularly, in my opinion, to address any or many of the those rights.
Yeah.
With respect and with genuine will and intent.
Yeah, they just sign a piece of paper, but when it comes to walking the walk, then, yeah, they're not there. They don't respond to...
Yeah, well, this whole big closing the gap thing and the Productivity Commission report actually finally kind of points that out to them.
Yeah. And you, Alara, your work addresses themes of healing through music. Can you describe how you create these textures and how music acts as a healing tool in your artistic expression?
Yeah, definitely. Adding on to what Anivik is saying here is there's just so much that we have to face every day just to survive. And there's just so much horrificness and atrocities being perpetrated against our mob still. So for brief moments of reprieve, I play double bass and I create a world that is, you know, vibrations and it's music. And I hope that other people can receive that as well, because it feels like a gift for me to get to play. It's not the easiest thing for somebody to have a double bass or, you know, have a musical instrument. But we do have our voices, and so, yeah, my hope is that for our people we can work more to understand our stories, all of the detail and the depth that country holds and that our stories and our beliefs hold, to, yeah, work on our, you know, whatever we want to call them. And it's never going to be the right word because this one's in English, but song lines, song cycles, and understanding the way that we move through and walk through the places that connect us back to who we are and back to creation of the lands that we live within. I think there is so much depth of understanding and knowledge and lore within those stories that, once we have more accessibility to be able to sing and share those stories, that will bring healing to us as a people, us as a so-called Australian nation, because it's very, 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 very important. It's at the core of what has made us and these lands, so-called Australia, and for me in particular, Yorta Yorta Unya. It's made us who we are, and we're not separate. Again, like, we're not separate from that. We've come from that, and where we're going is environmental collapse and people dying left, right, and center in the most horrific ways all across the globe. There's Indigenous people all over the world who are, you know, wanting and just like yearning for the same things, to be able to speak our languages, to tell our stories, to be heard, to genuinely feel and be understood that these stories are really important and that they're their core of caring for country, and then in reciprocity, country caring for us. Just everything about it is, for me, is healing, but it's also so painful at times to be working on our languages and there be so many holes, and the way that they've been recorded is in this Eurocentric understanding of the world. And yeah, this is something that Aunty Ru speaks about, and what I've learned from a lot of her work as well, is like with the recording of our languages and, you know, our cultural ideas and stories are done within that understanding of the world. And we have so much cultural knowledge and depth within the language itself that has been missed out on being recorded and has been changed and, moulded into something that it's not. So when we're talking and trying to understand and revitalize our languages, we're not just trying to understand our languages, we're trying to understand ourselves and our country and each other. One idea, for example, is the understanding of time. And when we're talking about all of these things, like the truth telling and all of that, it's done within a concept of time that isn't ours. And we're put under pressures that we're under so much pressure already as Aboriginal people that it's really hard. And so I hope, you know, even just to play music, I have to give up so much, and it's also such a privilege. But then I'm like, but is it a privilege or is it a birthright to sing and play our songs and to connect to ourselves and country and each other?
I
just wanted to comment on Alara's words and to say that was wonderful, Alara, to hear you articulate that, because it is a birthright, and we need our song men and song women to be part of carrying those stories forward. And our language is, it's the key to anyone's culture, and here it's our languages and our culture, and it's the oldest languages and culture in the world. It's of vital importance that we are able to, and I love, I can't even say my Kiki's name properly, apologies for that, but to be able to resist speaking in English would be great, but I don't have a choice.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have a choice, because we were multilingual people. We weren't just speaking one language. And there's still people who speak 10 languages, because that's the nature of our relationship with each other across our communities and nations and clans. In Gunditjmara, we've been very fortunate, the Gunditjmara or Ma-speaking language groups down in Western Victoria there. My dad, he started back in the early 90s, and we've been lucky to have a dictionary published, which gave us access to our language, because most of it was in historical records and just with just some few words and expressions and phrases besides Aboriginal English, which is a form of expression that we use with English, but is founded in the ways of our language speaking and communication we have with each other. So we've had that dictionary, and there's been, but most of the work, what you have to understand too, is that most of the work still today that is happening across Australia in terms of trying to stop the loss and to create thriving languages is very much underpaid or done by voluntary, done by our mobs in our own time, or as part of where we can integrate it into our work life. Great. Like if you're a health worker and you run a health program, you can introduce language to that maybe. But otherwise, we don't have, and we're just on the cusp of developing what is identified through mainstream funding models and the government as a language sector. So we have like a health sector, closing the gaps all happening. You have the education sector, the employment, blah, blah, whereby in those sectors there are people in paid positions in our communities doing work on those things, on health, on education, on employment. Currently, the federal government has just increased, because it's the International Decade of Indigenous Languages 2022 to 2032, they have just increased their national funding from $20 million per annum to $33 million per annum across over 800 languages in Australia. People bandy about the figure of 250, 300, but I'm talking all of the clan dialects. We're looking at 800-plus languages. We have one state language centre here in Victoria, and we're the only state that has a state language centre. But, you know, like Western Australia has a network of language centres. I forget how many, but not that many. All of the language centres are funded by the Indigenous Languages and Arts funding money through the Department of Communication or whatever it is that Tony Burke runs. So if you think that there's 23 language centres being funded out of $33 million, you might be able to do the maths and realise it's not very much money going into the support, supporting our languages being helped and resourced and revitalized or saved in any way, shape or form. The continuing national reports that happen, and there's one due to happen next year, since 2000 has been a massive, like if you think prior to colonization we were 100% multilingual speakers, down to there's about what I termed 18 or 13 strong languages in Australia now, and the rest, all Aboriginal languages, in Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander languages, are classified as critically endangered. It's a pandemic of language loss. They're predicting in 100 years that there'll be, out of the 7,000 languages in the world, there'll only be about 3,000 left. And by 2050, they're predicting there will be no fluent speakers left in Australia. At the rate of how things are going, and when you're looking at the numbers and actually what's happening in communities, and we're not going to let that happen, but, you know, we have no fluent speakers in our community. We are behind that eight ball where we are relearning from learning ourselves and, Alara was talking about before, and I know Lou's work, is connecting to country, and because language is in the land, and the land is the language, and the land is culture, and the land is people, family, community, so, and language. So it's really an urgent matter that is not receiving the attention and the support that is required, you know, because the definition of a strong language is one where it's being transmitted across the generations. And most of the languages in Australia are either in revitalization or a few are in maintenance. And as we're speaking, people are passing and the language is going with them. It's appalling, and it's a big shame on the Australian government and the state government, because the state government of Victoria does not fund, nor does it have, a strategic, cohesive approach to language, Aboriginal languages in Victoria, and it does not fund Aboriginal languages in Victoria in a sustainable manner. The State Language Centre does not receive any funding from the state to support our communities. It's just like a disaster, and I think it's like a national emergency.
Now, we've got only 1 minute left, but I wouldn't close the conversation without a word on the something that's got a really very, very strong meaning, the possum skin clock story. Auntie Vicky, can you tell us a word or two about the story of the possum skin clock?
Yeah, it was a vision gifted to me from the old people to kind of revitalise or reassert our cloaks to live back in community. And my great-great-grandfather was one of the makers of the Lake Conda cloak, and his brother, and it was those old people that gave the vision. And I worked with Dr. Trina Ham and Lee Derrick from Yorta Yorta, because the Melbourne Museum holds the Yorta Yorta maiden's punt cloak, and our Lake Conda cloak's been rematriated back home.
Yeah.
If you didn't know, Alara, that's back home on country, living there. I worked back home and started cloak making with the communities down there, and then the Commonwealth Games in 2006 came along, which enabled us to work with most of the language groups across the state of Victoria to make possum cloaks, and from there that has become an iconic and invigorated cultural practice back into our everyday lives across the southeast of Australia. And we went working with communities all the way up into New South Wales and South Australian Canberra. And it's like language. It's re-emerged and became, you know, again, an integrated part of our daily lives, where language belongs.
Now, Auntie Vicky and Alara, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us on NITV Radio about this very, very powerful event happening tonight at the Footscray Art Centre, Language as Resistance, a very powerful Panoyan. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes.
Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.